think sometimes what we have to do is take our eyes off of what we're dealing with on this side of eternity and realize that we have something far greater on the other side. And I think that oftentimes we talk about how to deal with the things that we're going through on a day-to-day basis, and that's good. But I think that sometimes one of the songs that we sing, we should do what it says, is look away across the sea. There is something better than what we have here. And if we lose hope or we lose sight of that, then all the things that we go through don't seem to make as much sense, don't seem to be something that we can go through as easily when we realize that this is just temporary, saints. It's just going to be for a little while. Even the joys and the triumphs that we have and the people that live in sin, it's just going to be for a little, it's just for a season, just for a little while. And then we have to go over on the other side, and that's throughout eternity. So what I want us to keep in mind and be encouraged about is that the things that you're dealing with, the problems and the tests of life, are just but a moment. The difficulties that you're going through are just for a moment. And it's going to be worth it, us standing our ground and being firm in the things of God, not being distracted by the periphery and the things that are that come and go. But let us stay focused and firm and true to the things of God. We want to turn to John, the 14th chapter, and start reading the 16th verse, 6th verse. John, the 14th chapter, and we start reading at about the 6th verse. We'll start at the first verse. We're going to concentrate on 14:1, yes. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we don't know the way. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. From henceforth ye know him and have seen him. So he says, first of all, he's given his disciples some encouragement. Don't let your heart be troubled. I know that there are things that we can be troubled about. The economy may crash. We may lose our job. It may be that we can't make ends meet. There are a lot of things that we are concerned. We can be concerned about. But he said, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Now, what we have to understand is that even though that there are troubles all around us, and every one of us have to deal with troubles on a day-to-day basis, there are troubles all around us, but if we believe in God, we believe that God is bigger than all of our troubles, don't we? We believe that no matter what comes, no matter what, if there is a sickness, if we have health problems, God is bigger than that. We heard the testimony about Lyndon today, didn't we? God is bigger than all the problems and all the things that the doctors may say. God is bigger than that. And if we let our heart be troubled, we'll get to wringing our hands and wondering what's going to happen next. But if we believe in God, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. It is not an option. We are to fight the things that the enemy would present to us that would make our heart trouble. He said, let not your heart be troubled. What that tells us, that there is something that I have to do about it. I can even put my confidence in the troubles, and if the troubles are going to overwhelm me, I'm having faith in the troubles. Or I can believe in God, that God is not going to let these things overwhelm me, that as the problems come, then the Lord just raises me above them. May the Lord help them. Doesn't mean that they're not there, but He raises us above them. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. So He tells them here, it's not just going to be like this all the time. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I don't want you to stay on this side of eternity. I don't want you to stay on the earth. A man is about a few days and he's full of what? Trouble. And he said, I've got a better place for you. So I'm going over there and I'm going to prepare this better place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm only telling you what's true. I'm not going to present this picture of something that's not accurate. I don't know what the mentions look like, but I believe that he's over there preparing the one for me and one for you. Everyone that has made their heart right with the Lord, there's a mention for them. If I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Do you see the intimacy of this? That the Lord wants you and I to be where he is. He doesn't want to be separated. He wants to be. He is our Redeemer. He's our Lord. He's our lover. He's the one that loves us. He's the one that gave himself to us. Therefore, he says, where I am, I want you to be with me. Isn't that wonderful? Saints, you're in trouble. Looking at some trouble, some problems that you're going through. Look to the Lord. All right. Whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said, Lord, we know not whether that, we don't know where you're going. What are you talking about? Now, we have to take into consideration, we understand here that Jesus, who he is, and I believe Thomas understood to some great degree, but there were some things that Thomas wasn't privy of that we are. We realize that he's going, that the Lord has ascended up to the throne of God. He's in heaven. And he realized that, and we realize that, but Thomas was trying to take all of this in, and he was trying to, Lord, what are you talking about? We know that you went here, you went there, but what are you talking about here? He says, how can we know the way? He says, I am, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. I am the truth, I am the life. Now, what is a way? We take in consideration just in the normal sense of what a way is. It's a path, you might say. A path to get from point A to point B, wherever that is. A way, even if we're not talking about just in the physical sense. In the physical sense, it would be a way to get from point A to point B. Chances are, if I wanted to go out of this building here, I would not go straight and step over the pews, right? It would be far more difficult for me to step on the one pew. Some children probably would enjoy that. But it's not the way to get out of here. And if we saw some of the children stepping on one pew to the other, what would we do? What would we do, Todd? Stop them. We would stop them. Why would we stop them? Because, why would we stop them, children? Huh? They're doing wrong. And you know that that's not the way. There is a way out of the building, isn't it? And how would we go out of the building? Out the door. But maybe down this aisle here, or that aisle, or another aisle. Do you realize that the Lord has a way? He makes a way when there is no way. Whatever the situation is, when we were going to go, if I was going to go from here to my house, I probably wouldn't go. There would be a certain way that I would go, right? And that way, there are several ways that I can go. But ultimately, we all end up on the same road to get to that house. You're going to have to go on Larkin Road. All of us came from various different places to get to this building right here today, correct? But ultimately, all of us came one way. Nobody, everybody that got here today and drove a car came down Riley Crest. No other way. And in the same way do we realize that there may be a lot of people that have come from a lot of different backgrounds, and they've come from a lot of different ways. Maybe they have been raised in homes that didn't know anything about the Lord. Maybe they were raised in another country that the majority of the people in the country didn't know anything about the Lord. But in order to get to heaven, there is only one true way. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He's talking about heaven in this scripture, right? He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again, and I'm going to receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Now, we may have come, and most of us, some may have come from this direction, some may have come from another direction, but we all had to come the one way. And in the same way, there are a lot of people that are coming to the Lord from a lot of different angles, but ultimately, they want to go to heaven. Ultimately, the only way to get there is by the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. There's not several different ways. He said, I am not a way. And a lot of folks here in our day and time, in our generation, are in a state of deception. And they're saying there are a lot of ways to God. There are not a lot of ways to God. Only one way. And it's Jesus Christ. Don't let the thought of the age permeate in your mind so much that you begin to disbelieve what the Bible says in exchange for what the world is saying. There is only one way to the Lord. And that's Jesus Christ. Let us understand that very plainly. It's not going to change. I didn't make the rules. I didn't write the word. I am the way, he tells Thomas. If you want to get to heaven, you're going to get there by the Lord. All right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but no man comes. Now, let's talk here. In my Father's house are many mansions. In the place where my Father is, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now, he says, no man, down in the sixth verse, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the only way to heaven is by the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not more than one way. There is only one way. And we have to understand the Word of God, and the Lord gives us a level of understanding. None of us know everything about this Bible. All of us, in one respect or another, are woefully inadequate, but our desire and the design of what God would have us to do is for, Lord, help me to get to know you. Because as we know the Word, what does the Scripture say? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. As we know the Word of God, we know Jesus Christ. As we know this Bible and we become more intimately acquainted with it, we become more intimately acquainted with the Lord. No other way. All right, I'm going to read another scripture. John 10:9. Someone else get us Acts 4:12. John 10. I am the door. Now, one of the children said that the way for us to get out of here is through the door. The way that we got in, there is only a few doors here, and most of us came through one or another door. We didn't break a window and climb in. That's not the way into the church. All right? We came in through a door. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man would come in, he shall be saved. Isn't that wonderful? I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. He says, here I am the door. If any man comes in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, what does that tell us? That tells us that the way to victory is through Christ. All right, now, I want to establish this here, and we're going to deal with other ways as well. So it says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, a person can be sick. Those that came forward to be prayed for were coming forward because maybe they weren't feeling so well in their body, and they believe that the Lord has the ability and the capability to heal them. And I believe that as well. And we don't want to be just have partial life where we're on some kind of life support system. We want to have abundant life. I'm talking about in the spiritual sense. In the natural sense, we don't want to be half alive, do we? We don't be half alive and somewhere caught between life and death. We don't want that. We want to have the quality of life, we say. We want to have the kind of a life that is exuberant and whatnot. But it takes, it takes health, doesn't it? It takes natural health to have that kind of a life. In the same way, it takes natural health to have spiritual life. It takes spiritual health to have spiritual life. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, give me, I don't want to be caught between life and death, spiritually speaking. I don't want to have half victories and barely making it. I can have the level of victory that God wants me to have no matter what. He says, I am the way, truth, and the life. He says here, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. What is it saying? He says, if he's the life, then he wants us to have more of what? More of himself. And so what we seek for, Lord, I have a desire to have more of you, to know who you are, to search after you more diligently, because I want more life. I want more victory in my soul. All right? So we seek for the Lord. All right? Acts 4:12. There's not salvation in any other? None of the name? Under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now he says, now what we're establishing here is that Jesus is the only way. Do we have any argument there? That Jesus is the only way. There is no other way. But we live in a nation today that we are accustomed to logic. And we're accustomed to, we don't check our brains at the door when we come to church, do we? And we don't check our brains at the door and just believe everything that Brother Darrell said just because Brother Darrell said it, do we? And because we study the Scripture and we know what the Bible is saying and we know how the Scripture reads in a particular thing, and so we study that out. But I want to say this. I want to say that there are times that we have to, so to speak, our own way of thinking, we have to ask the Lord to renew our mind so that we can have the mind of Christ. And everybody that calls themselves a Christian is not necessarily a Christian. It is not me to go around judging people, but it is my responsibility not to swallow everything hook, line, and sinker. Do you realize that there are people out there that are deceiving right here today? There are men and women standing in front of multitudes of audience that are in a state of literal deception. They don't know what the truth is. And maybe at some point there was a question, and I've seen it happen, where there is this play a valley of decision, this crossroads, this way that you come to, and it's a Y or a T in the road, or whatever you want to say, a Y in the road, and you make up in your mind which way you're going to go. Saints of God, let me tell you, you be very sure that the way that you're going is the way that God wants you to go. The things that you have been assured of, the things that the Lord has revealed to you, these are not just some arbitrary things that somebody passed down. These are things that work. And let me tell you something else. Folks, deception is not deception if you know it's deception. Does that make sense? The only way that you can truly say that something, that a person is deceived, is they don't know that they're deceived when the light bulb comes on and they understand that I've been under a state and a spirit of deception. Don't allow the enemy to take you in that direction. Do you know that that's what's happening in America today? America was a nation that was founded upon the principle of God. It looked to God as and moral absolutes and those kinds of things, but we had gone in several different directions. And now there are those that don't even believe, and I believe those in upper government that are actually making decisions that affect us, and they're bringing all these things and laying them all and saying, you know what, we're going to look at everything and we're going to just going to try to do right. You cannot know what the principle is right, what the principle of right is outside of the Scripture. There is not even any debate about some of the things that they're trying to do. There should be no debate if you read the Scripture. If you clearly understood the principles of righteousness, they don't even have to debate about those things. They don't have to worry about whether or not two men can marry or two women can marry, because according to the Scripture, it's not right and it never will be. I don't care what Obama or anybody else says about it, it will never be right. Absolutely, but here's the point that I want us to understand. There is one way. Only one way. And now we feel like and I want us to understand how the enemy gets us to embrace things. And we don't even realize sometimes what we're embracing. And there are the problems that we have as ministers of the gospel is that when we begin to say these things, people begin to question whether or not we really know what we're talking about. That's his opinion. That's not a logical conclusion to the thing. But let me tell you, adhere to the things that you've been assured of. These things work. Don't go after something. Don't go. You know what? There is a five-point, not too far from here in Ball Springs. You ever go Pioneer and Beltline and a few others. And you know what it does? I'll kind of give you it's actually a pretty good thing. It's pretty neat, and it keeps all the traffic going in the right direction, but it's a circle. All right? And so all of the cars are coming in and going out of this circle. So what happens is, it's five. Is that five of them? Six. What, how many ever? It doesn't matter. It's the principle of it is you understand. So we're coming here and all of us are going the same direction. And then we decide if I'm going to go this way or that way, right? And so we all come to this point and we may go here and they're coming from here going different places. But they all go around this circle, so to speak, and we decide from there where we're going to go. All right, which one? Now, let's just say one of those is right. Only one. Only one is the right way. For the sake of this lesson, only one way is the right way. But yet, we have all entered in from different locations. And let's just say that the Lord here is a valley of decision. All right? So we're in a valley of decision at some points in our lives. And we come here and we're here. And the Lord lets us go around maybe several times. And we come to conclusions about this is the Lord's way. Let's just go, this is the Lord's way. And then there are several other ways. But ultimately, when we come in from these particular directions and the Lord, and we choose whether or not we go the Lord's way or not. All of us, some of us are indecisive and we just keep going around and around in a circle for a space of time. Probably most of us have done that. Probably most of us weren't sure which way we would go. But I want to say here, there is only one way, the Lord's way. And so when we come in from whatever direction that we've come from, we come in and we have to make a choice as to which way we go. But what happens is there are some of us, probably the majority of us, that when we were presented with the big star that says, this is the Lord's way, walk you in it, we, most of us, didn't do it. Most of us wanted to try another route and we felt like we could ultimately get there. We came to what you might say in the old thing is, old days is the why in the road. One was the Lord's way, one was our way. And we came, all of us will come to this kind of a place. We'll come to a place where we have to make a choice as to whether or not to go the Lord's way. And I want to say, I have never regretted any regrets that I have had in my life. It is because I chose my way over the Lord's way. Now, here's a song that we sing. It says, God's way is best if human wisdom. A fairer way may seem to show. 'Tis only that our earthly vision, the truth, can never clearly know. Do you know the way that the Lord takes us sometimes are rough and tumbly and hard? Do you know He takes us through the wilderness? He takes us through difficult places, but His way is still the best way. And we have to understand that because ultimately I believe the Lord loves us so much. As we have dealt with this scripture here and it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. He wants us to go that way. And so what do? We tell the people the Lord is concerned about how to get to our house, how to get to His house the shortest distance possible. Now, anybody that's been to my house, it's kind of difficult to get to. People are always calling me saying, where do you live? Are we on the right road? Once you get there the first time, it's not that hard. But I know some of the back ways to get there. And it's a lot quicker if you go some of the back ways. But it's difficult because it's kind of out in the country. And here's the point that I've come to. That when people call and they've not been there the first time, I take them the longer route. But it's the easier route. There is a route that's easier for them. Just go here. Don't cut down through the neighborhood. Don't do this. Just go here. Turn to this corner and turn at the stop sign and go and keep going mile and a half or whatever. And you do that because it's easier for them not to get lost that way. But it's not the shortest distance. But it is the best distance. Do you know I believe the Lord does that to us sometimes? Because I believe that there are times that as He says, I am the way, I'm going to take you the best way for you to get to heaven, I'm going to take you through some trials. And some of the trials that He takes us through are for our own benefit. The Lord wants to deliver us from some of the things that are holding us down. So the only way for Him to do that is to take us a certain way. And so I want to say to you, God's way is best. Whatever you're going through, you find a place to embrace the Lord. You find a place to say, Lord, no matter how hard it is, I know You promised to be with me. There's one scripture that says, the Lord's way is perfect. He doesn't make a mistake. And so what we must understand is that there is some dimmed vision that we have. There have been times in my own experience that I've said, Lord, Why are you taking me through this? It seems so hard. And then after I look back and I see far down the mountain, I can see why the Lord took me that way. Because He allowed me to grow. He allowed me to mature. He took me through some things that cut off some things, and He made me a much better man as a result of the way that He took me. So what I want to say to you is, Jesus is the way. He is never not going to be there, whatever it is that you're going through, no matter how hard it is. You never have to give up the Lord. Never. There have been some people that have gone through some very, very difficult places. But as long as they cling to the Lord and held on to Him, that was the way out of those places. That was the only way out of those places. I've used this as an example, but remember when the miners were down in the, for what, over a month, they were down in the, what was it, the Chilean mines. How many ways was there to come up out of there? One. It wasn't several ways. I'm not going to go up that little capsule. Whatever it is, I'm not doing that. Jesus is the only way. Now, some of the problems and some of the situations that you're going through, do you know what you have to do? You have to embrace the Lord, hold on to Him, never let go, and He'll bring you out. He has a way. Let's read something about that. Yes. Yes. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust Him. Now, let's just deal with some current events here. We had a testimony of little Landon. It says the word of the Lord is tried. What does that mean? That means that we can try the word of the Lord. Not just him, but we, little Sariah here that was in the same kind of condition, and there was really kind of no hope for what would happen, and look at her. Now, if he can do it for that child, he can do it for that child, he can do it for the lady that has the aneurysm too, right? If he can do it for the lady that has the aneurysm, he can do it for me when I'm going through something. He can do it for all of those that came up to be prayed for today. The Lord, the word of the Lord is tried when He said, come, be anointed, allow the prayer of faith would save the sick, and the Lord would raise him up. I can try that, and I can prove it whether or not it's true. And it's still true today. No matter what everybody is saying, no matter if everybody is saying, well, the Lord doesn't heal, I can point you to some folks that He's just done that for. Lord, help us. The word of the Lord is tried. What did it say? He's a buckler. He harnesses us. He holds us. He trusts that trust in, what does it say? For all those that trust in Him. If you trust in Him, the Lord will take you through whatever it is that you're facing today. If you can trust Him, He'll take you through. There is a way out of that problem. There is a way out of that situation. The Lord is the way. Not your logic. Now, back to what we were saying about we are very democratic here. And so we feel like that it shouldn't be that there is just one way to heaven. There is only one way to heaven. I'll believe that until I'm dead. And when I'm dead, I'll believe it even more than I do now. There's only one way. Now, let me tell you, the reason I'm saying this, and I know you know everything that I'm telling you, but we are in a time. We're in a time frame where that is being contested. And if we're not careful, we will embrace and sympathize with the spirit of the enemy. And that's all it is. Don't call it anything else. A spirit of the enemy will embrace it and will sympathize with it just kind of in our mind. Maybe there is another way. It just doesn't seem fair. No, Jesus is the only way. And we've got to believe that, and we've got to stand on that no matter what comes, no matter what goes. And don't let anybody change your mind about it. But Brother Darrell, that just seems so staunch. Well, it is staunch. It's supposed to be staunch. You ain't going to get to heaven unless you're staunch. You're not going to get to heaven unless you have some convictions on some of these areas. And the devil is fighting so hard. Let me tell you what he does. He can break away this foundation. We can break away a foundation with a little chisel and a little bitty hammer. We can cause great problems to any foundation. Or you can, worse yet, let's see, we've used this as an example before. One of the things that the engineers, when we were building this building, one of the things that the engineers required is that we couldn't have any trees within 30 foot of the building. Well, one tree they said cut down, that tree back there, and I just decided I wasn't going to do it. Now it was actually a lady that knew a little bit more than I said, well, we'll test it. And so she said we could test it. I wanted to keep some trees. I had some big, beautiful trees that would have been just lovely right in the yard. But they said cut them down, and that makes sense to me.
And one of the things that I've seen as we work from time to time around the building, I find little seeds have dropped down beside the foundation of the building. And little trees begin to grow. And if we let those trees grow, a little oak tree, we drop an acorn by the foundation of this building, and a little the tree begins to grow and take root, something's going to happen, isn't it? What's going to happen? It's going to break up the foundation. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen this year. We can plant one today and we can watch and see what happens. It's not going to happen this year. It's not going to happen next year. It's not going to happen the third year. It's not going to happen the fourth year. Probably won't happen until 10 years. But you'll start to see some stress in a certain place. And then before you know it, the thing, when it gets this big, you can just throw down the foundation in some place has been damaged in a great degree, right? This is what happens with what's happening in the world today. There is a little seed that has been planted by the spiritual and Christian foundation of our nation where most people once agreed with what we stand for, what the scriptures stand for. Now this seed has been planted and it's grown over 30 years, and before you know it, a lot of folks don't believe that you can live a holy life. And I'm not talking about out there. Only. Most people, there are a lot of folks that don't believe that you can live righteous, but and that Jesus is the only way. And do you suppose if they can, it can happen with them, that it can't happen with me? You suppose that Brother Darrell, you've been a pastor for so long that these kind of things don't happen to you. I'm so ignorant as to believe that I'm not susceptible to a spirit of deception to go another way that may not be the way that the Lord designed for me to go? That's the frightening thing about it. There is none of us that are in heaven right now. And because we're not in heaven, and because all of these things that are happening out in the world, that is kind of changing our perception ever so slightly, we think that we're not susceptible to it? Use this example. You know, I see everything that you see, but I don't see it the way you see it anymore. Because I only have one eye. I can only see out of one eye. But anything that you express, I can express it too. I can tell you the colors, I can tell you everything. But I can't see it the way you see it. And the only way that I know I can't see it is because I knew what it looked like before. There's still that memory in my mind. And I know that I can't see the dimensions. I can't see the depth that you can see simply because I can see one dimension. And this is how the enemy would come in and wound us in our eye, in our vision, our spiritual vision, and we only see one dimensional. We can't see the depth and where this particular thing is going to take us. I'm just making a simple choice. It's not that big of a deal. And one dimensional is okay. But when you look at the full picture and you look down and you try to see three dimensional, it just doesn't work because it takes two eyes to make that happen. Lord help us. Do you get what I'm saying? So I might go in a way, because of my one-dimensional train of thought, I might go in a way and I feel just as clear as you do when you say, no, that's not the way. That's not right. Lord, help us. All right. We're going to try to go to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Somebody else get us Exodus 14 and 21. No temptation taken you, such as is common to man. Now, you know everything that you've been through, somebody else has been through. Have you ever felt like you were in this by yourself? The trials that you're going through, the temptations that you're having is so strong. And Lord, you know, you're looking around, none of the saints are going through what you're going through. Nobody that you know is going through what you're going through. And you think you're all out there by yourself. You know what? Stop having a pity party. Because you are not alone. There is at least 100,000 people going through what you're going through. At least. You may not know him, you may not ever see him, but let me tell you, the beneficial thing is if the Lord is with you, you're going to be all right. All right? No temptation is taking you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful. He will not suffer you
to be tempted above that you're able. Now, hold on, y'all. This is something we need to get a hold of. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able. Okay, so if the temptation is so strong that the only option that you have is to give up your salvation, it'll never happen. That's what he's saying here. That the temptation, the pressures came so strong that the only way for me to get out of it was for me to yield to sin. I read a book some time ago, The Hiding Place. You read the book? Some of you probably read the book. And I remember one time there was one sister, it's been years, probably 20 years since I read it, if not longer. And one of the things in that book, they were hiding the Jews from the Nazis. And this was in Holland. And they had made a little hole under the floor in the dining room to get under the house. So there was a hole where they could get under the house. And so when they would hide the people, I believe it was The Hiding Places where I read this particular thing. But anyway, the soldiers were coming, and this woman had a strong sense of right, and she wasn't going to lie to them. They got the folks underneath the little hiding place there, put the rug back over there, put the table back, and put the tablecloth on the table, and put the chairs all around. And when they came in, they said, "We know you're holding somebody. Where are they? We know you're hiding them. Where are they?" And she stood strong, and she said, "Under the table." And so they yanked the tablecloth off the table, and another person that was standing, they really were under the table. They were under the house, under the table. And so she said, "We're under the table. They're under the table." And they took the tablecloth off, and the person that was standing there was just like, "Why did you tell them that? You weren't supposed to tell them that." And they immediately started laughing. And so the soldiers thought that they were mocking them. The person started laughing out of nervousness. They just started laughing like, "Ha, ha, ha, you thought that it was really under the table when it really was under the table." Now, here's my point. That's an interesting story. You should read it. It really is an interesting story. It's been a long time since I read it. But here's the point. She could either lie and say, "I don't know where they are. They're not here." But here's the that was a strong temptation, because the other person is saying, "Why did you do that?" And they're looking at them like that. And then when they pulled the tablecloth off, they started laughing. And the Lord turned that completely around. It was a way of escape. And do you know what the soldiers did? Were upset at them for making a fool and making a mockery of them when she really told the truth. And they left and never caught the people. So God has a way. Now here's what I want to say to you. Whatever the situation is that you're facing, however difficult it is, you will never only have the option to yield. It won't be the only way that I could do it was just to yield and give up my salvation. That'll never happen. No temptation is taking you. You're not by yourself, but common to man. You're not by yourself. God is what? Faithful. If you can have faith in Him, He will take you through. He is faithful. Remember that. You plead that scripture to the Lord. You plead it to Him. When you're in those situations, Lord, you said you're faithful. You said you will not allow me to have a temptation that I have to yield to. He's faithful. Read. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able. So it may come to the threshold. You may have a 0.10 threshold. It may come to 9.999, but it will not break you. But He will with the temptation also make a way to escape, and you'll be able to bear it. It's not going to be so hard. You'll be able to bear it. Saints, sinners, friends, loved ones, that scripture is true. That scripture has been tried and proven that the Lord will make a way when there is no other way. He'll make one. I don't see how I'm going to get out of this. Well, I tried this and I tried that. The Lord knows the way that you take. You stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes that's all we can do. When the children of Israel came to the Red Sea, how are they going to get out there? The Red Sea is here, is in front of them, mountains on either side, and the Egyptians coming behind them. What's going to happen now? We're doomed. They're going to get us. God will make a way.
He'll make a way when there is no way. That is a type. You know what the Red Sea is a type? It is a type of the blood of Jesus Christ. So what does it say when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life? It means that Jesus is your way out of the situation that you're in. Whatever that situation may be, he's the only way, and maybe that there is no other way. But you can hold on to the Lord. Don't give up. Don't give in. He did not say it was going to be easy. He did not say it wasn't going to be hard. He said that he would not allow it to be something that you couldn't bear. He would not allow it to go above the threshold where you can stand firm and true to him in the midst of it. Lord, help us. I don't know what's coming on us in the world today. The Lord continually deals with us and purges us, doesn't he? There are little things about us that the Lord wants to perfect. I don't think that any of us, I know I can't say that there are not things that the Lord still is working on, but I'm doing the very, my level best, Lord, by your grace, I'm going to get there because I'm going to make it to heaven. I'm going to make it to heaven. It's not optional. It's not going to be something that, well, I hope I can make it, y'all. Oh, I'm trying. No, I will make it by the grace of God. It's not something in myself. Can't do it in and of myself, but I can do it because Jesus is the way, and he went to prepare a place for me. And if I follow him, and I am in him, I am in this way, I'll be able to make it. Lord, help us. All right. We won't go to the scripture, but we think about the Red Sea, how God changed the circumstances there. Now, Isaiah 43 and 19, let's read that. Moving toward our conclusion. Isaiah 43, verse 19. Behold. Oh, this has never been done before. Well, I've never seen anybody do this before. I've never seen how anybody's gotten out of this situation before. The Lord says, behold, I'll do a new thing. I'll do something you've never seen and nobody. What is new? It's something that's never been done before. It's brand new in your situation, in my situation. The Lord wants to do a new thing. Saints, let's hold on to him. Let's learn to love the Lord. Let's learn to have an intimate relationship with him. Let's stop this pity-patty stuff. May the Lord help us. Let's stop straddling the fence. Let's be everything that God wants us to be. Let's not say that I am so spiritually anemic that I don't know if I can get out of this. And poor me. Saints, please pray for me. You pray for you. You pray for you. You ask the Lord, Lord, get me out of this. And let me tell you, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I should not be praying harder than you are. Now, there are times that we get sick or we get down and we need somebody to bear us up. I'm your brother. You can't pray anymore. But it's not because you haven't prayed. It's because you've exhausted where you are. Then we pick you up and we carry you wherever we need to do. But don't have me carrying you when you have full strength and you're just not doing it. You understand what I'm saying? I hope that's not too hard. Y'all still love me when I get through with this. All right, here's the point. The Lord will do a new thing. And I believe that the Lord has done some new things. We've heard some testimonies here today. We hear them from time to time how the Lord does new things for our things that we didn't even expect. He said, I'll do a new thing. Read.
Sorry, I will do a new thing. Now it
shall spring forth. And you'll not say that?
Shall you not know it?
I'll make a way in the wilderness. And rivers in the desert. What is a wilderness? It is a place that a lot of folks don't go. The Lord will make a way when you feel like you're all alone. To me, the wilderness seems like a lonely place, doesn't it? And it seems like you go to your friends for comfort. There's a song that says, but you find them complaining too. You want somebody to hold you up. You want somebody to understand. And you're all in this alone. Let me tell you something. The Lord will make a way in the wilderness when you're not. Nothing has been settled. There's nothing, things that have not been explored. The Lord will make a way then. All right? Why will he make a way? Because he is the way. He is the way. You'll never be without a way if you have the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never be without a way out of any circumstance. You'll never be without a way to heaven because he is the way. Now, how am I going to get out of this situation? How am I going to do it? Jesus is the way. The only way for me to get out of it in most cases. Well, sometimes we come to situations like this and we say, well, I can do this or I'm going that way. And we sit down and we figure it out. And we decide in our mind, well, but the Lord is kind of nudging us to go right, turn right here. And we pass that opportunity up and we go back around and we're still debating about, whether or not we should go this exit or that one. And well, and we see what somebody else has done. And before you know it, the Lord is saying, go right, turn right. That's the way. Walk ye in it. You know, the scripture speaks about, you hear a voice behind you. It said, this is the way. Walk ye in it. This is the way. Walk in this way. Lord, help us. Now, finish that scripture. And a rivers in the desert. Now, what is a river? A river in the desert. Isn't that wonderful? A desert is a place that doesn't have any water, but the Lord will make a river in the driest of places. Sometimes we can go through some very spiritually dry places. Have you ever been through some of those? I have. I think we all have. And the Lord says, I'll make a river there. There'll still be something for you to drink. Something to sustain you. They'll be there because He's there. He told Moses, speak to the rock and you'll get water out of the rock. Moses hit the rock. Well, what was the rock? The rock was representative of Christ. He said, I'll make a river, I'll make a way out of no way. Saints, I want you to understand this. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. May the Lord help us. Whatever you are going through, there's no temptation that's taking you but such as is common. Don't think you're going through it by yourself. Don't think the problems that you've had, you're the only one that's ever had them. No, you're not. The Lord will make a way for you. He said, and you won't. He'll make a way of escape, and you'll be able to bear it. So you won't be tempted to the point that you have to get. I had to do this. We're talking about some of the martyrs. All they had to do was renounce the Lord, and they just refused to do it. But their way out was Jesus. Their way out was standing firm. Your way out is going to be the Lord as well. Pray for me. All right. I give waters in the wilderness,
rivers in the desert,
to give drink to my people. Now he says, if it were not so, I wouldn't have told you that. You know, I'm only speaking the truth. I want you to be where I am. So I've done all of this for your benefit, for your sake. I made this kind of a way for you, for my chosen. So the Lord has a way for you in the midst of your trial. Is that all of it? This people have I formed for myself.
They shall show forth my praise.
How are we going to be able to do it? You know what? There is something inherent in victory or inspiration. Inspiration. People that inspires are not folks, not couch potatoes. Well, you know what? I was laying on the couch and I sent somebody down to the liquor store, the grocery store, or whatever, and bought me a lottery ticket, and I won $2 million. Is that very inspiring? I asked them to scratch it off, and it was lo and behold, it was $2 million. I'm inspired by that? No, but you know what we are inspired about? People that have gone through hard knots. People that have gone through difficult places, and they have overcome. Now, so what the Lord is doing, and all of these things that we've talked about, some in the Sunday school and whatnot, the Lord allows us to go to difficult places so that, what did you say at the end of that? They could send forth praises. All right? Send forth praises unto the Lord. And so how would we know what God can do? How would the world know what God can do if His saints didn't go through something? If Stephen was never went through anything, what would it have done for us? Would we have been inspired by it? If Paul never went through anything, would we have been inspired by Paul's testimony or Job's or Daniel's? Would we be inspired by their testimony? No, we're not so inspired by things where people don't have to overcome something. So the Lord in His wisdom knows what to do. The Lord in His wisdom knows how to send trials and testings, how to send problems our way so that we can rejoice. We heard the testimony today. We can rejoice. Why can we rejoice? Because we were praying and we feel like it's not just the Greens' victory. It's not just their victory. It's ours. It's mine. It's yours. It's those that we don't even know that they are rejoicing because we don't believe it was just my prayer that healed this child. We don't believe it was just because of your prayer. It was all of ours.
And we rejoice with one another. Why? Because we went through some difficult times. And the Lord brought us out of those times. Saints, that's what it's all about. Now let me tell you, as a congregation, and I'm done here. As a congregation, sometimes we go through some difficult times. We've been through some difficult times, haven't we? But you know what? The Lord has brought us out of them. And we can stand firm. And we can teach somebody else how to go through some difficult places, can't we? Simply because we have done it. And by the help of the Lord is continuing to bring us out. We didn't have to fail. We didn't have to fall. We just continue to be what the Lord would have us to be. Pray for me.